Some of you might be, like I continue to do, watching CBC News World in the morning. And so, peace. And it seems it's such an elusive thing. You know, even with ceasefires declared. And it isn't very peaceful. So our scripture this morning from Gospel of Luke is like a melody in a musical overture. Zechariah's prophecy hints at things to come, while reflecting refrains from long before. And together with other songs in Luke, such as the songs of Mary, the heavenly host, and Simeon, Zechariah's contribution to this musical score offers a symphony of praise to the God who is, who has been, and who always will be working among God's people. The prophecy previews several claims of this gospel. God remains faithful to God's promises. God's way is salvation. God's path is peace. As was true for Sarah and Abraham before them, Zechariah and Elizabeth are old, well past the age of childbearing. Nevertheless, God has given them a son, John, whose life is caught up in the designs of God. John will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will turn many of the people of Israel to their Lord, their God. On the eighth day after John's birth, his parents bring him to the temple for naming and circumcision, and Zechariah answers the question that is on everyone's hearts. What then will this child become? Filled with the Holy Spirit, Zechariah's song begins with words of praise from the Psalms. Blessed be the Lord. It continues by pointing backward to God's long-established covenant with God's people. This is the Lord God of Israel, who has raised up a Savior in the house of his servant David. God's promises have come from of old through the prophets, given first to our ancestors in an oath sworn to our ancestor Abraham. Whatever else might be happening that day at the temple or later through the life of this child, it is in line with God's holy covenant with the people. This is no distant God, content to set the world in motion and then leave it alone. This is the God who comes to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. This is the God who has raised up a Savior for us, the promise given long ago through the birth, naming, and circumcision of John is the same as the promise given today. God is active among God's people, here and now. So how do we know? Because God has been active among God's people from the beginning. That is the testimony of the First Testament, the testimony of Jesus, the testimony of the gospel writers, and the testimony of the church. And perhaps I may say boldly, the testimony of those of us gathered here this morning. Zechariah's song presents an opportunity for the preacher to bear witness to the ways that God is at work among our congregation, among our community of faith, telling its story as a chapter in the larger chapter of God's people. Just as Mary praises God as Savior, and Simeon rejoices at seeing God's salvation in the infant Jesus, Zechariah blesses the one who has raised up a horn of salvation for us. Before long, the day will come when his own son will prepare the way for God's son, participating in God's mission of salvation by calling people to repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It is a mighty task to be a prophet of the Most High. And the rules of this age, the rulers of this age, will not go easy on him. As we know, John will eventually be thrown in prison and beheaded by the king. But on this day, when John is barely a week old, his father is filled with the hope that accompanies new life. It is the hope of salvation for all people, Jews and Gentiles, insiders and outsiders, rich and poor, blind and lame, tax collectors and sinners, women and men, old and young, fishermen and farmers, Samaritans and soldiers, lepers and lawyers, and many, many others. As Zechariah waits, as we all wait, for the unfolding of God's purpose in John, we look ahead to the one who is more powerful than he, the one who will come, whose own name portends that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Now, long before Zechariah, Isaiah spoke words that resonate today as much as they did for those who awaited a Messiah. The way of peace they do not know, and there is no justice in their paths. The roads they have made crooked, no one who walks in them knows peace. So as if in a response, Zechariah sings a declaration of God's purpose as a message of hope to a world in danger of losing hope. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The heavenly host gives divine affirmation to this purpose when the angels sing at Jesus' birth, "Glory to God, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." Simeon does too as he holds the infant Jesus in his arms. Now, by the time of Luke's gospel, the Romans have destroyed the Jerusalem temple, and news about Jesus has begun to spread beyond Palestine to pockets around the Roman Empire. So in that context, no less than in the decades earlier, when Elizabeth and Mary were preparing to give birth to their sons, the message of God's peace comes to a world more practiced at the art of warfare than it is at the craft of reconciliation. God's peace stands in striking contrast to the peace of the Roman Caesars, during whose reign John and Jesus are both born and executed. The gospel writer of Luke uses the word peace more often than the other three gospels combined. Now, I'm taking that as someone else did the research. I didn't count, but it's pretty amazing that Luke uses it three times as often as the other three gospels combined. God's peace is a message that frames the beginning and the end of the Gospel of Luke and permeates its message throughout. Here, near the beginning, Zechariah sings that God will guide our feet into the way of peace. His prophecy is fulfilled near the conclusion of Luke's narrative, when the risen Christ stands among his followers and announces, "Peace be with you." In between, God's peace is the gift granted to those who kneel in faith before Jesus and to those who receive the message that God's kingdom is near. It is the way of heaven breaking forth on earth when the Messiah makes his appearance. In the end, Zechariah's song is not simply a way to announce the birth of John the Baptist, but rather to proclaim God's faithfulness, God's salvation, and God's peace. As we are on the cusp of the season of Advent, as we await the birth of the Savior of the world, we can pray together with Zechariah, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." So I'd like to share with you Brian McLaren's update on the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. "Please let all of me be an instrument of peace in the world, so that wherever I go, if I encounter hate, allow me to be a source of love. If I am wronged by others, then let me forgive those who have wronged me. When I encounter doubt, let me inspire faith in others with my bravery. Where I find sadness and despair, let me be a source of joy and hope. Like a single light randomly illuminating a dark room, I ask for the strength to console others more than I want to be consoled myself, to understand more than I desire to be understood, and to love more than I desire to be loved. For it is in giving that we received, and it is in forgiving that we are forgiven. Only by overcoming the ego, the big me, the self, are we born to eternal life. May we go and make it so. Amen."